Talk Live with Psychics Online now for one-on-one personal readings. Welcome to Stars Psychics, a community of gifted psychic readers offering live psychic readings through our private chat rooms. Want to know about your love life? What about your career and wealth? Hear from loved ones and more. Our network of channelers, tarot card readers, clairvoyants, spiritual advisors, and clairaudients can assist in answering your questions and guide you to a new level of spiritual career. Online psychic readings are a great way to find out answers you've always wanted to know from a psychic in the privacy and comfort of your home. Go to www.starspsychics.com. That's stars with a Z, psychics.com. Now click on the new one-on-one button and start talking to a psychic today.
We're going to have to end up changing that commercial because the first week in January, our new design will be up and our radio commercial will be on the week of January 11th. So it's something to really be happy about. Anyways, the topic tonight is pretty deep. I was just talking to Stars Maya Moon and Stars Nicole. Spiritual warfare, you know, a lot of things going on in the world, things to be worried about, concerned. And I told them that this is just really such a deep topic, you know. And what I'm going to do, instead of reading what has been written in the little section here, I'm going to let them begin because I'm sure they're going to give us a lot more insight than I could probably add. So who's starting off tonight? Maya, is it going to be you?
Sure, I can start off.
Okay.
Okay, well, hello, everyone. This is Maya. And I am coming, recovering from a cold, so my voice hopefully won't get too raspy. But if it does, that's why. Even though I'm from the South, I haven't got into the moonshine yet or anything. So it's not that, just a little bit of raspiness. But this is of great concern to me as a spiritual person, the subject. So first of all, of course, I want to welcome everyone that might be new to the show. This is probably a good topic to join us because it really is deep and it encompasses a lot of things. And we may even want to have a continuation on it. And if you've been with us before, we always appreciate everyone that listens. And, you know, before, too, I want to wish everyone who has just ended the Hanukkah season or is ending it, whatever you may be celebrating, that you're enjoying your celebration. If you're getting ready for Christmas, I hope that all that is going well for you. But the topic is talking about spiritual warfare and the race to extinction. And this is, again, what I'm going to share with you is my information, what I've received from my guides and what I feel is going on in the world. It doesn't necessarily make it the only view or the right view. It's just something that it's really, really profound. And it has been significant and something that almost that my guides are replaying to me in the message. And one thing that I want to bring up that I feel is very spiritual, the bottom of this is spiritual, is these threats that have been going on. And I'm leaving out politics and religion because I don't really feel, even though that may be a face that we see or that may be a front is what I mean by a face, I don't feel that's definitive of that. And when I say I don't feel, I mean what I mean by that is what my guides are showing me. So the things that I feel that are going on via my guides that are conjoined and are collectively and universally influencing us and could, you know, potentially lead to something major is, one thing is, I mentioned the race to extinction, and many of us believe, and I'm trying to make this synopsis short, and I'm not doing a very good job, but many of us believe or have learned or been taught or, you know, understand a theory of dinosaurs going extinct. That's something we can probably, many of us can agree upon. And as far as species of animals, things from fish to large species are becoming extinct on a daily basis. And we just seem to be losing species of animals at really, if you really start to look into it, it's just really incredible. It's mind-blowing. You know, those of us that live in suburbia don't always pay that close of attention. But my guides tell me that this is a spiritual event that's going on, and an awakening and enlightening, if you will. And then we have this recent threat with the bombings and the shootings and these security breaches and these things that are happening and the way that they are being presented. Of course, they're universal as well in terms of globally, so they don't seem to be just one area. My guides are sharing with me that there is a, I would have to use the word evil, because there's just, and insidious, because there's just no other word that aptly describes the energy of what is going on. It is not, what I'm being shown is it's not the same as two countries or two communities or two cultures that are going up against one another because their belief systems are, you know, they're butting heads, and so they're both trying to force the other one out, or there's a battle over land. This feels, even though it may not be presented spiritually, that's what I'm getting. So that's where a lot of this is coming from, and that, you know, what we perhaps can do in order to preserve ourselves. And I can already hear my voice starting to crack a little bit on me, and I do apologize for that. So I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Nicole.
Okay. Well, thank you, Maya, and thank you, Natalie, and everyone who's listening. I agree. You know, the major thing that I keep receiving from Spirit, from the guidance around me, is that what we're going through is really a spiritual awakening, and it's a rebirth. So we're coming to the knowledge and understanding that we're interconnected to everything and everyone. We're all coming to the knowledge and understanding that we're spirit, we're God, we're sovereign, we're free. And a lot of times what happens is, before we can get to that place, old systems that no longer serve us have to be torn down. So a lot of times you are seeing this. Just as you said, you're seeing sometimes political structures, financial structures, banking structures. You're seeing systems that are no longer working starting to collapse. And, you know, and that is what's happening. And what they tell me is the reason these systems are collapsing is because they're not sustaining us anymore. They're not sustaining the greater good. They're not sustaining people as a whole. You know, a system that discriminates against a certain race of people or a certain sex of people or a certain religion of people is not a system that serves us all. So what often is starting to happen is these systems are breaking apart. The other thing that I'm also sensing and feeling is that a lot of things are happening to people's physical bodies. I know for a lot of people, their physical bodies are starting to break down. They're becoming a lot more sensitive to the foods they eat. I'm noticing a lot of people moving. There's a lot of folks, myself included, that are living more of a nomadic existence now. And that's really because our vibratory frequencies are changing. So we're moving to places on the planet that we resonate with. So a lot of these things that are happening, I would definitely say there is sort of a power play at hand, you know, and it's like on one hand, we have a group or an energy that knows we're interconnected to everything and everyone. And then on the other hand, we have an energy and group that wants to maintain the power structure. And I feel like that's the energy that sort of feels like that push-pull between good and evil, between positive and negative, between destructful and helpful. Because on one hand, there's an energy trying to uphold the status quo, and on the other hand, there's an energy that realizes the status quo, it doesn't really exist anymore, you know, and that's changing. I think that's why we have so much violence, and I think that's why in a lot of pockets of the world, people are moving towards revolution, you know, and things are happening on social media, and they're taking it off of social media, and people are taking to the streets. And you don't just see it in America, you see it everywhere. You see it in Egypt, you know, you see it in Syria, you see it in France, you see it in so many different parts of the world, you know, and I really feel like this is a spiritual awakening and a spiritual revolution. It's kind of like not just planet Earth going through a rebirth, but the people of Earth going through a rebirth. And so I think that, you know, what we desire, what we want, what we need, all of those things are starting to change. What we thought was important, all of those things are starting to change. You're seeing people that never voted before getting on the streets and wanting to vote. You're seeing people that never protested before getting on the streets and protesting. And I actually feel like, just as you said, it's not even so much a political or financial thing, though it may look that way. I feel like it's actually a spiritual revolution. And the systems that have been put in place, like I said before, are being torn down. And in some cases, they're being restructured or they're being reworked. You know, I also wanted to talk about something that I noticed a lot as well, because this energy is not just at play on planet Earth. I mean, it is connected to other star systems. So I definitely feel we have other star systems, other life, intelligent life and non-intelligent life from other planets in connection with people on planet Earth that are kind of propelling this forward as well. And, you know, with those eyes, you have the positive and the negative, too. So that's kind of what I'm seeing. But I'll turn it back over to you, Maya.
Well, you had mentioned Nicole, and I agreed, you know, I hadn't thought of it until you had mentioned it, but about the nomadic existence and people were moving around a lot, that there had been a lot more lately. It seemed like people making location changes, and I had agreed with you, and that's a good point, and I do feel that it's connected to that. And the way that it is shared with me, which is resonating, I believe resonates with what you were saying, and I support and agree with everything that you said, and it was very well said too, very well articulated, is that it's as though we, kind of the message that I get is that we were given, and I believe that this is also connected to this interplanetary involvement, for lack of a better term, when you're talking about there's other intelligent life involved. I believe that's true. I believe that's been true for a long time, but they're taking a more assertive approach right now, and you might say they walk among us, but I know I'm going to forget my train of thought just because there's so much going on. The energy is just, it's very chaotic. The way that it's almost presented to me is that we were given, and by time, I'm not talking about 5 years, I'm talking about perhaps hundreds, maybe even thousands. We were given a great deal of time, kind of like you would give a child or someone a ball of clay and say, okay, this is your assignment. Make something, be creative, do something good with this. You know, there's no real rules in terms of it has to look like a rabbit or it has to look like a monkey. Just do your best, you know, be creative and let's see what you come up with. And I feel like whether we recognize that to be universe, creator, or everything combined, I feel that we were granted that, and we kind of took that ball and ran with it, and that there has been small-scale types of, you know, branch-off organizations or people that have tried to work with that ball of clay, so to speak, for the greater good of all, and which is, it always comes down to love and the greater good of all. What serves the greater good, and what causes no harm when we go about our intention, our agenda? What first causes no harm, and then secondly, what also serves the greater good of all? And since we are all the greater good, that would be serving of self too. And what I feel happened is that we got a little bit too structured. Obviously, any society, to a point, I feel, does need some structure. I mean, it would be a beautiful thing if we could be all self-accountable, and so there was no need for us to say, well, now you can't do this because, you know, that's against the law, or that would harm someone. That really, in a sense, is where we're headed. So I feel like there's been this branching off, at because we took this and we ran with it, but when push came to shove, or when everything came down to the very crux, and let's say that, you know, the little clay thing was due, we started to really, rather than come forward, we began to withdraw and become more attached to that which is superficial, hedonistic, self-gratifying, satisfying, materialistic. I mean, we moved in that direction. And for a while, I don't, and not everyone, of course, there's always going to be exceptions to the rule. So I'm not trying to say that we all were that way. But the greater majority of us feels to have moved along that direction. And it got to the point where something needed to be done because the direction we were moving was not for the greater good, certainly not for the greater good of all. So a variety of influences and forces started to come upon us. And one thing that I was curious to ask you about, Nicole, well, two things, mm-hmm. actually. One is, do you see any relevance or anything, any connections to these weather patterns and to the spiritual? I know that you brought up the physical. That's something I'll have to give some thought to. I can see, though, your point, and I think there's a lot of validity in that point about people physically mm-hmm. breaking down or being more aware of what they eat, what they consume, and how they consume it, et cetera. And also, what about, it just seems, and maybe it's just what my guides are wanting me to see, but what about, mm-hmm. There's been so much about the extinction and these mass, I don't know if you've heard anything about some of the, like, fishes that in the oceans, there's no explanation. Even the microscopic, you know, that the small mm-hmm. ones that are not even visible with the naked eye are not reproducing. There's just a variety of things. Now, where does that fall in, or does it, or do you see that as completely separate? I'm curious as to what your thoughts are and where mm-hmm. you're guided on that subject.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Maya. Well, the major thing I get about the weather patterns and planet Earth is it's two things. Number one, planet Earth is making some of these changes herself. What I'm being shown is that every certain number of years, she actually adapts. And so there are certain species that go extinct. It's almost like a shedding of a skin or a shedding of a coat, if that makes sense, like kind of getting ready for a rebirth. So there's that. The second thing that they say is that certain weather patterns are being manipulated. That's what they keep saying, that some of the weather patterns are not 100% connected to planet Earth herself, but they're actually being manipulated by the powers that be that are connected to not just planet Earth, but other star systems. So some of this is a manipulation where weather can be controlled to create a certain outcome, and in some cases it can be controlled to promote certain types of extinction. But what they show overall is that she's really going through a rebirth, and to a degree, the planet seems to be allowing this to happen, almost like a dog would shake off like water from its coat or something like that nature, and then get dry. Like, that's kind of the feelings they give me. That's what they show me is happening. But they do say that some of it is manipulated. I mean, what they do show about planet Earth in relation to the rest of the Milky Way galaxy and other galaxies and star systems is that, you know, there is intelligent life that knows how to move star systems and knows how to move planets. There is intelligent alien life that knows how to manipulate weather patterns to produce and incite a certain effect. And sometimes this is being done because planet Earth has a couple of different timelines it can move on in terms of its ascension process. which is similar to when we're doing psychic readings for people, we may see a probable future versus seeing an absolute future. Well, the planet Earth is kind of the same thing. If we take point A, the future looks this way. If we take point B, the future looks that way. And so there are certain beings that have a certain agenda, and they know that if they manipulate weather patterns, if they manipulate certain things on planet Earth, it will take a certain timeline that they want. So that's a part of what's happening as well. But it seems that the positive energy, the more inclusive energy, is actually what is winning and what is winning over. That's what I'm being shown, Maya.
So, okay, so that's an interesting ideology and I don't mean that in a condescending way, so
mm-hmm.
I hope it didn't come across. I'm just observing what you're saying and processing it and seeing where it comes in with what I'm shown, you know, how it resonates, how it's added to what I'm also being shown. And I would add to that, and I would not disagree either with what you said about the weather can be manipulated. I do feel that is absolutely a possibility and probably quite likely to be true. I also am shown and given that in addition, perhaps, not as opposed to, but more in addition also, that, again, it goes back to this comfort level that we've achieved that has created, up until this uprising, if you want to see, or the spiritual revolution, evolution, this comfort level that humanity has become entrenched in, where, again, as a collective, so that just means for the most part, or in this context, you know, that many of us have come into this level, this comfort level, where we are expecting, you know, we have cause and effect. We all pretty much know what that is. But spiritually speaking, that we have come to kind of expect that, you know, things are going to be a certain way. Tomorrow is going to be kind of a repeat of yesterday in general, in the general sense, and weather being one of those, so that, you know, for people that have four seasons, they're expecting their summers to be warm, but on the other hand, they're expecting the winters to be cold. And I happen to live in Northwest Arkansas, and that's where Arkansas, Oklahoma, and Missouri meet. And I am located in a very interesting area. It's a very spiritual area, I feel. It's one of the biggest areas in the U.S. for natural crystal quartz and, of course, a lot of American Indian. So we know that there's a lot of deep roots here. And not that my place is special. Aren't I a special person? But it just resonates greatly with me. And we have gone from, we traditionally have four very, very noted seasons. None of them are extremely severe, but they're all very obviously four seasons. And we went from having earlier in the week to almost needing the air conditioner. I mean, it was just touch and go there, which is very unusual for us. We're in December. For us, December, the weather patterns are that of winter. And now it's dropped about 30 degrees from yesterday to today, and it's going to shoot back up. So what I'm getting at is being a person that's actually experiencing personally this this craziness with the weather, and this is not a fluke where this is the first time in 500 million years it's happened. This has been a continuation that's been happening for about 2 years now. I also feel that this is to unseat us and to try to get our awareness again and teach us that we need to have something to rely on. And I think you had mentioned, if I'm not mistaken, and excuse me if I am, but it's very true, whoever mentioned it, whoever just gets that short, is that we're learning to be very self-reliant, that at the end of it all, we need to rely on ourselves, our connection, and then whatever we see to be that that source or that creation, that if we put too much onto the external, to other people, to, you know, our electricity, to our water, to all these different things, I mean, just a variety of things, we're going to find ourselves struggling. So the more that we can become self-reliant on our spiritual awareness, our spiritual knowledge, our faith, hope, love, et cetera, the better equipped. And so I do feel that some of this weather stuff is just kind of to show us that, you know, really anything could happen. Just because it's technically wet winter doesn't mean that we're necessarily going to be given winter weather. So we need to kind of, and I feel that's a universal lesson that's just being symbolized in weather, if that made sense.
No, Maya, that makes a lot of sense. I agree with a lot of what you've said. You know, when you were talking, one of the things that did come through is two things. Number one, I was getting an image of planet Earth moving through space. So part of the weather change is that planet Earth, not that her orbit is changing, but there's something about her orbit where she's almost like making a descent, if that makes sense.
Yes.
So, you know, so there's that. The second thing as well that people might be interested in, you know, and I think people could use their own discernment, but there is a gentleman named Alex Collier who had some contact with some what he professes to be, you know, and this is why I say people could use their own discernment, but he professes to be a highly evolved extraterrestrial race known as the Andromedans, who have a lot to say about planet Earth's evolution and the evolution of the people of Earth. But one of the things, so that's someone to sort of check out as well. There's some interesting things I think he has to say. But yeah, they're showing planet Earth moving through space. So I definitely feel like that movement through space has a lot to do with the weather changes and the weather patterns. And it's funny, it's not exactly related because it's a little different, but it sort of reminds me of, you know, all of us who've studied geography or studied social studies, and we're given this understanding that in the beginning, planet Earth was one landmass, you know, and then slowly but surely it started to break apart and continents started to form, you know, and then civilization came to be what it is. And there's something there that seems to be interconnected and interrelated to planet Earth's movement through space, that these weather patterns are yet another change, like they're yet another evolution, you know, and that we as a society are growing and changing. And, I mean, I do agree with you. I think that there's even more focus than before on our spiritual growth and our connection to the divine. And it's funny, but that's the thing that was coming through to me a couple of days ago, you know, because this has been a very emotional time for me and I think for a lot of people. And, you know, one of the things that kept coming through, I wrote it in my journal, was the only thing that will change this, the only thing that will quiet this is a connection to the divine, is a connection to spirit. That's really the only thing that will do it. It's not another person, it's not a baby, it's not a job. It's really a personal connection to the divine. Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's, I'm like you, Nicole. I have been... Mm-hmm. Extremely disrupted, I think, is a good word.
Yeah.
Chanel is a good word as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I've just not been, I've just felt very unsettled. And there's been moments of, you know, great sadness. I mean, sadness to a depth that I could not even really probably relate in words. And yet, within that sadness, just not to be doom and gloom here, there's the revelation that the potential, and so that's important that everyone who heard that sadness also hears that the potential for the raising of our consciousness in a spiritual sense is greater now than before. Excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
So along with that, we have this, this is a great time, and there's a lot of people out there that may not work, or may not be professionals in the spiritual realm, But that doesn't mean that they are not intuitive and they're not feeling. So if you are feeling these feelings of, you know, unsettled or something feels like, it's interesting to me that Nicole, you're talking about this movement, and that's almost what it feels like, is something is being moved or changed, but yet we can't quite put our finger on it. And, you know, so it's a great time for hope. And it does concern me. And it's the other thing that I think that my guides have really pressed upon me to keep issuing this message is that when it comes to these security threats, these breaches in security, regardless of how you may personally associate that, if you associate it with a vendetta, or if you associate it with whatever you are personally associating it with, what I'm being taught to accept is that it comes down to being almost supernatural in its power, and that the way to combat it, aside from, I'm not suggesting that we are lax at airports, or, you know, we don't have our government security or something like that, but individually, for if you're saying, well, what can I do? I mean, I don't work for the government, or, you know, there's nothing I can do. And I know there's a lot of politics, especially in the U.S., and there's a lot of words being bandied about. And some people really support that, and other people don't. And, you know, one is the issue of carrying arms, should we or shouldn't we? But really what my guides are really, really, what's so important to them to pass along is that the best defense is to be strong and united spiritually and collectively, to be aware and share that awareness, whether you're sharing it by, by example, or by, you know, mentioning to a friend or a neighbor, you know, something spiritual or a spiritual connection. Because what I'm being shown is, if we are to overcome this and stop this before more or greater harm comes, or something gets pushed too so far that it really does devastate us, not just as one nation, but one, you know, universally one nation, globally, I should say, one nation. I feel it. That's why I use the word spiritual warfare, because I do feel that we are at war, but I believe that it's a spiritual war. So I'm not sure where you stand on that whole thing, if you see that as serious of a matter as I do, in the same context, but I'm definitely, and I know our listeners definitely are interested to hear your take on that.
Yeah, well, I agree with you, Maya. I do feel like the issue and the matter we're dealing with is a spiritual one. And the reason that the way that I see it, or the way that I receive it, is that we as a people have maybe gotten away from the collective understanding that we're all spirit. You know, I think that we've kind of gotten away from that and maybe become too heavily identified with our race or nationality, our sex, our gender, our class. You know, those are just social constructs that have been put upon us. But when we pass the physical body, I mean, really, we're spirit, and we are a mass of energy. You know, so we kind of cease to be whatever society tells us that we were. And I would also use the term spiritual warfare, because I think it's a war for people's connection to the source. You know, it's a war for people's connection to the divine. You know, a lot of folks, even though the connection is always there and always waiting, ready and willing, a lot of people, you know, have kind of disconnected from the source and they're not plugged into that. So what I see in terms of the spiritual warfare is getting people's sovereignty back and getting back that connection to the divine and knowing that that's there no matter what, you know, because for a lot of folks, you know, they're not aware of that. And it's kind of a thought that this physical life is all that there is. For some people, there's a thought that life after this physical life is all that there is. But, you know, it's interesting. Many years ago, I did a reading for this woman. It was a mediumship reading, and a loved one came through. And one of the things that she said is that people think that, you know, the birth date and death date is a life, or what's after death is a life. And she was saying, no, it's all a life. Everything you experience, every incarnation, everything is a life. You know, it's all your life. It's all your path. It's all your journey. And I think that on some level, we as a people have forgotten that. And I wouldn't say it's entirely our fault. I mean, I definitely think that we're, the spiritual warfare part comes into play. I think we're somewhat being manipulated. I think we're being not only manipulated by what we're seeing on television and the news media, I feel like we're being manipulated by, you know, some certain things that are going on in the spirit world as well, sometimes false information that we're being fed. So when you put all of those things together, sometimes it's difficult to know what is real and what you can hold on to and what you can anchor yourself to. So I definitely think it's kind of a war for people's spirits and their spiritual energy and where they focus that energy. Because the other thing too, Maya, that, you know, I don't know if you agree with this or not, but one of the things that my guides also tell me is that, you know, when you're trying to manifest something or when you're trying to make something happen, there's power in numbers and there's power in groups. So if we as a group of people are thinking that planet Earth is going to go in one direction and we're thinking about that, we're feeling that, we're giving energy to that, well, that's harnessing a certain type of energy and that's propelling us in a certain direction. So I definitely feel when it comes to the spiritual warfare part of it, you know, there are beings on planet Earth and around planet Earth that understand that if we as a people think a certain way, that can shift the trajectory of planet Earth a certain way. So they have a deep investment in us not being connected to Source. Because when you're connected to Source, you may have your fears and worries and things, but at the end of the day, you know you're going to be fine. It's going to be okay. And when you hold that level of frequency, that's a higher vibration that moves the planet and moves people in a different direction. So in terms of the warfare, so to speak, that's kind of the way they've been showing it to me, you know, is that we as a people, as a species, could go one of two ways, sort of. Well, it's really two ways that they're showing. I mean, there's others, but there's two paths that seem to be the biggest paths, and it's kind of like a push-pull. But I feel like we're moving more towards the path where we're choosing what really feels good, we're choosing what brings us the greatest joy, and that is the connection to Source. But I think in the beginning, that can be hard, it can be scary, it can be painful, because when you spent so many years denying who you are and what you are, then it's kind of like we have to rework all of that, and we have to figure out who we are as a people again, as individuals again. I think this is why for so many people, they're seeing relationships they've been in breaking down, or there are people getting sick, there are certain people that are, their bodies can't withstand it anymore, and they're passing away. You know, and so they're not necessarily leaving the planet, but they're leaving it physically, you know, and I think a lot of these things are contributing to that spiritual warfare and I think the awakening that you were mentioning.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I agree with all of that, and that I believe that that's very true, and that, you know, adding to that, I would say that as humans, One of our greatest obstacles, when we talk about an agenda, it does feel like there's two main choices. I mean, it's like two trees standing, and then there's many branches. But when, you know, we choose either faith and hope, which I feel are interchangeable, or fear, and along with that is doubt and worry. And when people become collectively vulnerable, which I believe now is, again, I mean, we're seeing these two very different energies. One is those that are growing in strength and their collective consciousness is growing and they're becoming more connected and more aware of their body as a shrine and the feeling of brotherhood and of what's really important in their life and so on. But then there's those that are lacking in that direction, and so fear is pushing them to latch onto something that feels that feels safe. And amongst that, even though I would consider myself personally a religious person, a lot seems to be coming forward. What I'm being shown is that many people, their intentions are honorable, and so they're coming through in this warfare. Religion is something that they're using as the front or the purpose or the agenda to fight back, so to speak. But it, rather than using religion as just a way of igniting the spiritual connection, they're using it instead of, and I don't believe that that serves the greater good, because religion, regardless of whether it's my religion, your religion, a religion, if we use that as our front runner, then there is judgment as opposed to acceptance. And if you really look at all the various religions, it's an interesting conundrum, because on the one hand, you're being taught this particular set or pattern of beliefs to follow, yet in each one of the first things is that you're not to judge, but are to accept. And I liked what you said earlier about, and you didn't maybe word it exactly this way, but this is the way the message came to me, which I feel is in alignment with what you're saying. And if we go off of the news, which most of us at least a little bit hear the news, even if we don't go by it, we're being so preoccupied with these minor issues about who can marry who and who can do what with who, when really that really is not a spiritual, I mean, that has nothing to do with our spirituality. But the point that you made was very important and was essential to our existence. And my guides feel that there's the real possibility of the extinction. I mean, as dramatic as this is going to sound, the possibility does loom ahead of the extinction of the people as we know them to be, even though I do agree that life is life, it always will be, it always has been, and life always finds a way, that there's threat of extinction if we continue to try to categorize and prioritize rather than just letting be, accepting, and being in hope and faith and seeing all living things, most especially humans, as equal to us. There's equality because we're all a part of the divine. Sorry, my throat is so scratchy. But no, we're all connected. We're all a part of that. And so if we were to be able to cross over spiritually into that other person's psyche and just, you know, I mean, just feel that person and just be a part of their energy, which we actually are anyway, but if we could have an awareness of that, we would release and let go of so many things that I do feel are contributing factors to illnesses, to these losses, to grief, to sadness, to things that seem to be holding us back. So I do feel that there can be an extinction, that that's a possibility, and that the way the spiritual warfare and the battle from extinction as we know it, and I don't necessarily mean that, you know, everyone is going to be wiped off the face of the planet. I don't mean it necessarily in that context. I use the words as we know it, that what we have to do is be able to rise above everything else, all these other agendas, even if they're important and they're a part of our lives, there's nothing wrong with that. But first and foremost, and above all other things, we must place the value of ourselves as spiritual beings and the value of every living being on this planet. And I believe that is the interconnection to the extinction of animals. Although I believe that there is a process where there's always going to be some losses in life, and changes. We're discovering new animals. Hey, I believe in Bigfoot, yes. And that's going to be a new discovery. And so there's some losses. I believe that the extinction is on a scale that it doesn't need to be, and it's because it's an enlightenment process, and we need to be enlightened to the possibility that is, you know, everything is on a chain, and if we lose too much, that ladder is going to eventually fall. So,
yeah.
I mean, I do feel that we have, it's certainly not too late, and we have the power within us. And if there's, you know, I want to hear what you have to say, but as far as I'm concerned, if you are asking, well, what do I do and how do I fight it, you do that by being spiritual, by being aware of the equality of all, and you know, what you had said before, that at the end of the day, I'm not going to worry about these things because I know I'm going to be okay because I'm a spiritual being, and whether I am here in this life, I'm in another life, or I'm in a spiritual world or reality, I still am. I still exist, therefore I am.
Right. Yeah,
go ahead while I get my throat under control.
Okay, I hope you feel better, Maya. I agree with you. You know, from my perspective, one of the things that I've always felt is that, you know, any religion that you subscribe to, any spiritual path, any belief system you subscribe to, connected to a spiritual component, it's really just about growing closer to the divine. You know, that's what that is. And so for some, if it's Christianity, then use that as a tool to get closer to the divine. If others, if it's Islam, if it's Buddhism, if it's Sufism, whatever it is, you know, you use it to get closer to the divine. And there may come a point where a particular religion no longer serves you because you've gone as far as you can go within that, and you move outside of that structure, you know, or maybe you stay within it. You know, it's okay, you know, but I think that, at least the way it's described to me, is that religions were created by man in order to better understand God. Spiritual practices, to a degree, were created by man in order to better understand the divine. So, you know, these are man-made structures that help us evolve to a certain level. And I think that once we sort of climb the rungs of the ladder, so to speak, we may evolve past certain systems, you know, and we may find ourselves pulling the way of the mystic. And, you know, instead of reading and saying so-and-so said this, we're starting to ask ourselves, well, what do I really feel? Well, what feels right in my spirit? But what feels good in my spirit? And so I guess one of the things that comes through for people that are listening is just to learn how to trust your intuition more. You know, the intuition is just that still small voice within you. It's that voice that speaks. That tells you what works and what doesn't for you. And I think, you know, for some people, if you have difficulty listening to intuition, go back to childhood. Because a lot of times for many of us, when we were children, what felt right or what felt wrong to us was very, very clear. You know, and it was as we grew up, adults may have told us, do this, don't do that. We learned to quiet that voice. But if you just go back to childhood and go back to that still small voice and what it felt like, when you knew you weren't making a great choice, or what it felt like when you knew you were making the right one. I feel like that's the voice that we have to listen to that guides us. Use that voice to determine what spiritual path you want to walk. If you're drawn to religions, use that path to draw you to the religion that works for you. If you want to be in a relationship, use that stirring to draw you to the appropriate relationship for this time in your life. You know, but intuition is the voice of your spirit, and it's the voice of the divine. It's the part of us that connects us to the great intelligence. You know, so it will never steer you wrong. It will never, ever steer you wrong. And if you don't know what to do, and you don't know what to think, you don't know what to feel, listen to that still small voice. Listen to the stirring of your spirit. It will even guide you where you need to be living. It'll guide you to people. It'll guide you away from people. You know, listen to that still small voice. That's what keeps coming through, I think. And the final thing I would say as well is follow what brings you joy. Because if you follow your joy, you're going to raise your vibratory state. You're going to raise your vibratory frequency. If we do what we think we should do or we think we should do, yes, to a certain degree, we have obligations. We have people depending on us. So I'm not saying, like, throw caution to the wind and don't feel obligations. But when it comes down to life and follow your joy, follow your bliss, follow the thing that feels good in your spirit, pursue that. Pursue what you're curious about, because you'll often find, you know, that's a spiritual path for you. And whether that be an organized religion, whether that be, you know, your own path that you're just walking and figuring out as you go along, you won't go wrong. I actually feel like many paths lead to home, you know, so, you know, what comes through is like, don't be too worried about this is right, this is wrong, that person's right, that group's wrong. It's more what feels good in my spirit. And also, how can I be an example of the Creator who sent me? How can I be a representative of that? You know, that. So that's what I'm feeling. But I'll turn it back over to you, Maya.
Yes, I definitely, that was very well said, and I agree with all that. And those were some great points. And many times I have those that ask, that bring up intuition, and they feel that, and they, you, like what you pointed out, you may, as a human, you may think that you've lost your ability, your intuition, but believe me, your intuition is there. You may not be practicing it, and you may not be using it in a professional way, but that doesn't mean that it can't guide you in your life. And my guides are firm believers. And intuition, if we're not sure how to get in touch with it, as Nicole said, the biggest indicator is how we feel about something. And agreed, right, we're not, neither of us are suggesting that, you know, you do something that's just absolutely foolish. We're not saying, you know, hey, take out your 401k and go buy lottery tickets. Because says, hey, maybe I feel lucky tonight. Obviously, no, we're not suggesting anything like that. But if something brings you joy, joy is always a gift and a blessing of the divine, of the source, of God, creator, whatever. So whenever there's joy in your heart, you're on the right track, you're on the right path, you are being true to yourself, and therefore you are connecting with your intuitive and spiritual abilities. And you are following in what divine source, what the creator, what that which really it just comes down to that greater love, what that greater love wants. And then I would take it a step further and say for those that are feeling fear, whether it's fear because of something that they felt that is in the topic that we've been discussing or within these topics, or if it's just in general, rather than allowing fear to define you or make your choices, because fear is at the worst decision maker ever, use the fear and, you know, validate it with that it's perhaps allowing you to be in touch with something that you need to be cautious about. Sorry. So instead of saying, oh, well, you know, I'm fearful of this, so it's going to paralyze me. It's going to steal my joy, and I'm not going to be able to do anything. Try not to see it that way. Validate, you know, I have fear because there's something that I need to shift. And so rather than connecting myself to the fear, I'm going to connect myself to my intuition and to my spirituality and see that perhaps caution is needed and I need to broaden my horizons or open myself up spiritually and find out what has brought me joy. And if nothing in the moment is, then think back, as Nicole said, for intuition you can think back to when you were a child. Joy, it's pretty easy, whether that's laughter or that's connecting with a friend or that's just a place inside of you where you're able to let go of some of the expectations. You know, we do have certain things we have to do, But there's also so many things that we only think we have to do. We don't really have to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So there's, I mean, there's really a lot going on right now, and I'm going to close. My voice is really giving out, but I'm just going to close up by saying that, you know, we may talk about this again, and it's not a time. This isn't a scare. This is not intended in any way to frighten or scare people. This is intended as an awareness, because that is what I do feel very, very strongly and profoundly, that my guides are asking me to share the message. And so perhaps you can share the message yourself in whatever way is comfortable with, you know, for you, or whatever way that you have that's possible. So be spiritually aware, connect with that, and have faith in the potential of the tomorrow and the potential in yourself as a spiritual being, and that there is a purpose to everything, and that there is someone at the helm or something. So something is driving the ship. Even if you look and you're like, hey, I don't see anybody up there at the wheel, just keep that faith and hope strong, and love and joy, which, you know, as they say, 'tis the season. This is the season for that. So while there might be some challenges and disruptions in this season, it is only to bring us always, always the intention. You know, the last thing I would say is the intention is always to bring us to a better place, to the greater good, because we are loved. We are loved, therefore we should love ourselves and love each other. And with that, I really, truly hope, I don't know if we, Natalie, do we have another radio before the holidays?
No, we're going to take next Monday off for the Christmas week, and then we'll start back up the following week, which will be, what is the date going to be? Does anybody know? The 28th. We'll be back on the 28th.
Okay, so I want to wish everyone, whatever holiday you celebrate, I wish you many blessings of joy. And if you do celebrate Christmas, a Merry Christmas, and, of course, a Happy New Year, but we'll talk before then, I guess. And so, you know, I really plead with everyone, plead my case on behalf of the greater good, that you all find joy within your heart and you connect to that joy. And in whatever you do, whatever the season brings, whether it's a holiday or it's just December, there's so much joy and love out there. Please try to embrace that and disallow the little complications that just don't mean anything and just are so unimportant. So with that, I thank you for listening and for letting me share with you this evening, and I'll turn it over to Nicole. And thank you,
well,
Nicole.
Thank you, Maya, and I agree with you. The final thing I would say as well is very similar. Follow what brings you joy. Connect with people that are joyful and happy. Because there is power in emotion, and there's power in that happy, joyful emotion. So very, very happy holidays to everyone. I know that sometimes the holidays can be overwhelming, but remember that, you know, it's really about coming together. It's about whatever brings you joy and whatever brings you bliss. Just follow that this holiday season, and even with the ups and downs, you're going to be okay. And so I'll turn it over to Natalie now.
Okay, well, thanks. I really enjoyed the topic tonight. I can tell you that I've been flying all over the place. Excitement, you know, my base is, of course, my family and the site and everybody that works for me. But there are moments, and this is the truth, that I am so excited beyond words about what I'm about to do. And then, and I don't know why, I have no proof, and then I'll be let down and not doing so well. But I've been like this since November. November 11th, I went to a teleconference. And after that conference, something happened. And I've talked about Shanta before. She spoke with me a few times, and I don't really know. We don't really know. Maybe it opened something up for me. I don't know, but I sure like the feeling about what's happening. And, you know, I am, for one, when I'm feeling, you know, out of sorts or whatever, I just contact somebody that works for me. I'm very, like I said, I'm blessed. You know, I'll call Maya or send her a note, or Nicole. I can do it to Nicole. I can do it for everybody. But I think they're both right. I think you just should find your joy and be happy. And just know that the divine has your back. So, 'cause when I'm really upset, I just say out loud, God, I know you've got me. And that's the truth. So with that, I'm going to close and wish everybody a happy holiday. And we will be back on December 28th for our pre-New Year's show. And I don't know what the topic is, so we'll just have to wait and see what the gals come up with. And with that, I'm going to say I love you two very much. And I love everybody listening. And Candy, thank you for all that you do. We always have to thank you because she's sending hugs. And Judy Noah was in the room tonight. And we have to acknowledge people like that. And, okay, ladies, I'll see you in 2 weeks. Love yous. Bye-bye.
Happy holidays. Bye. Bye.